Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Crossover Daily, SI's daily NBA podcast. I'm your host, Rohan Nadkarni. Today on the show, we'll be discussing the Lakers' dominant Game 1 win over the Heat to tip off the finals. Is this the best the Lakers have looked all season? What does Miami have to do to have a chance moving forward? And is Anthony Davis an early favorite for Finals MVP? Joining me will be the Chicago Tribune's Deontay Prince. Let's start the show. All right, joining me now on Crossover Daily is a Chicago native. He's also the mayor of Uptown Charlotte, and he's currently a sports editor at the Chicago Tribune. Please welcome my old buddy, Deontay Prince, a.k.a. Champagne P. D, how's it going, my man?
Oh, wow. We put out literally every old nickname for this.
That's true, man.
We got a Crossover TV nickname.
I'm trying to fill the time so we don't have to talk about what happened tonight, you know?
Yeah, I know you're still trying to process it without, you know, shedding some tattoo tears over there.
All right. Well, we're obviously here to discuss the Marlins' thrilling Game 1 win over the Cubs. No, let's get into it. The Lakers just putting a smackdown on the Heat tonight, and as if it couldn't get worse, just seconds ago as we start to record this, we find out that Goran Dragic sounds like he's done for the series. You know, the reports are saying he's going to be reevaluated, but a torn plantar fascia. It's not looking good. Before we get to the Goran stuff, you know, the Lakers just look like maybe the most dominant they've looked all year tonight, that the most juggernaut-esque they've looked all season. D, what did you see in that game? What was the biggest takeaway? What just hits you from the jump about the Lakers' big win?
Yeah, there were a few things that I noticed immediately. The first one was that Anthony Davis, who basically like couldn't be paid $50 million to rebound throughout the playoffs, was really active in Game 1. It's a little weird that he had to get to the finals in order for that to kick in, but he was super active on the offensive boards and was really moving around and, you know, really wanted to be there. And the other thing was just guys like KCP and Danny Green and all those dudes who were sort of brought in to hit threes, kind of doing their job as well. And I think AD said it, that KCP saved them early on in the game when Miami was really taking it to them. And he hit those two big threes in the corner and then sparked this crazy run. I think someone charted, I think it was like 70-35 or something like that, something crazy. But they kind of went on a tear from there. So, yeah, those were the big things that hit me.
Right. It really just looked, you know, it's interesting. On one hand, the Heat never really have to play big or small because they have Bam Adebayo. And the Lakers have an even better version of that in Davis, right? Yeah. You know, whether they're playing Dwight or not, the fact that Davis is on the court means that they're always going to have someone who is just a mismatch and probably bigger and better than whoever you want to throw on him. this really just felt like Anthony Davis, especially in that first half, dominating. The Heat didn't have an answer for him. They went back to that lineup with Iguodala as the backup center in the second quarter, and things just really kind of unraveled from there. Mm-hmm. LeBron wasn't even on the court as they started going on such a big run. And yeah, Davis was just kind of dictating the terms of the game. It was really remarkable. Are you surprised at all that Davis has dominated and played as well as he has during what is his, you know, first real deep playoff run? Is any part of the, I mean, we both knew he was going to be so talented, or rather is so talented. Are you surprised in any way at just how well he's played during his first deep playoff run?
Not really. I mean, the pressure is kind of, and that, I think that was really what this move was about, right? The pressure to win isn't necessarily on him. I don't think that he feels that in the same way that LeBron does, that sort of immediacy, or I have to win this one right now. And a lot of that, he's shielded from a lot of that by the fact that all of the expectations and all of that is thrown on LeBron more so than I think Anthony Davis. Obviously, he's going to get his offensive numbers. He's going to defend. He's going to protect the rim. But I kind of feel like he's had a quiet playoffs.
Really?
It's a little weird to say, but I think he could have been more dominant than he has been. I don't want to sound like Chuck and all those old dudes. There were a lot of nights where he had like two rebounds, and I feel like those presented opportunities for second chance points, or, you know, passes out to these guys who are hitting threes now because he's being more active with, you know, KCP and Danny Green and those dudes. So
I will say the scoring has always been there. You know, the rebounding, I do think part of that is just, you know, their scheme and the guys he's defending will sometimes take him out of the paint. You know, as a team, the Lakers have been rebounding great throughout the playoffs. So I guess I never really
He does function on the outside a lot, especially on offense.
Right. So I was never as worried about that. From Miami's perspective, is there anything that you look at tonight and you're like, that's something that maybe they have a chance at turning around? You know, again, we still haven't really touched on the Gordon injury and what that means. I'm assuming it'll mean a lot more Kendrick Nunn minutes moving forward. But, you know, outside of that, is there anything that you look to and they're like, okay, if Miami turns this around, maybe they have a chance?
Well, I think the same way that we said the shooting for the Lakers was a little bit insane and probably isn't, like, sustainable for them on a game-to-game basis, I don't see the Heat playing as poorly as they did. I think they were a little shell-shocked as soon as those injuries started to flare up. I mean, I think was in the first half, Tyler Hero, who's been one of the best players in the playoffs, was minus 30.
Yeah, he had a rough go of it.
There's no way that he can duplicate that, you know? And as many people said throughout the game, when it was really a blowout, but it was encouraging to see Kendrick Nunn move around and look healthy. A lot of the talk is that he hasn't necessarily been the same or got cut out of the rotation after he had COVID and had to miss some time. So it was encouraging to see him moving around and to see him hitting shots even in a game where, you know, it kind of didn't matter. But and that was another thing that Anthony Davis mentioned in his post game. He did a good job. He hit all the points. Where he said, like, you don't want a guy who you know, was basically one of the top five rookies in the NBA throughout, you know, most of the season to get going in the finals, you know, when you kind of have shut everything else down. So we'll see what happens with him going forward, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're the Heat, you have to hope that there's some regression from the Lakers threes. Cooper Moorhead, who covers the Heat for the organization, actually, he does a great job. You know, he brought up a good point. The Lakers were getting good looks. So it's not like the Heat can just simply hope, you know, LA starts missing. They're going to have to compete better on the defensive end and figure out a way not to let Davis kind of dominate the way he did. At the same time, when Markieff is hitting, Caruso is hitting, Rondo is hitting, Kuzma is hitting, you can't have all those guys hit threes and expect to win. So I do think if the Lakers come back down from earth, you know, from the outside, I think they hit a franchise record for threes in the first half tonight. So you would think that would tighten up the game a little bit. In terms of Dragic, you know, he's been their leading scorer in the playoffs. Yep. That is a massive massive loss for them if he does end up missing the rest of the series. You know, Chris Haynes is saying he's able to put pressure on his foot and he walked out without a boot. It's completely unclear. No, it's completely unclear, I should say. It's a little unclear if he's going to return. You just have to imagine, even if he does, he can't be that effective. Yeah. That's a big loss for them. You know, they don't really have another ball handler on the team outside of him.
Right, and walking without a boot and running up and down in a full-speed basketball game are two completely different things, especially when, you know, you have this Lakers team. When they're going to know that you're hurt and they're going to attack you. So, and, yeah, that's – the tough part is Tyler has had a real issue. The only issue he really has on offense is turenovers, and – Jimmy is already dealing with his injury thing, so I don't know if you want to put that much more burden on him to,
right,
to handle the ball and you know, control the offense. So, yeah,
it's going to be tough.
It's a tough position, yeah,
for sure. And I don't know. I mean, they're already obviously in a hole now, and you have to imagine their confidence is a little shot after this first game. For them to lose Dragic too, that's a massive blow, and not one that I think that they will overcome. They were already a huge underdog going into this series. Losing him, I think, makes it all but assured that the Lakers will win. I want to get to LeBron. I wonder what's going through his mind right now. In many ways, this has been, you know, the chillest finals run he's ever been on. It's probably the best way I can describe it. Do you think that the chillness of this takes away from the accomplishment to a degree?
I don't think so, but I think most of the sports world is going to find a way to cut LeBron at the knees, because they always do. People were saying that whole like asterisk thing before it even started. I feel like the way that this turned, a lot of people probably will say that after the fact. I mean, pretty much all of the teams that were predicted to make it farther in, you know, make it into the conference finals or make it to the finals, were cut out early by, you know, sort of upstart teams who are closer to being, you know, in that AAU age where they just, you know, they're used to being at a random site, that college sort of setup where they're used to being at random sites and playing games every other day. You know, you had the Rockets, you had the Clippers, and these teams all had their own, like, issues internally. You know, who knows what, you know, people like James Harden were doing with their layoff, but I can see some people trying to come at LeBron for the way that this setup. I mean, even you can look at tonight where he was barely on the court, like you said, early in the game. Even when they were losing, he still took his regular rest and they found a way to get it done. And his points didn't necessarily, they all felt like additives, kind of, you know.
Right, right.
Obviously, he played a role in getting other guys going, and he focused more on that to start the game. I think he had like 7 assists in the first quarter, but his points weren't even needed. I mean, he ended up with a good stat line, but, you know, it really didn't play a part in the way that the game played out. They were going to win anyway at that point.
I guess I don't mean to take anything away from what LeBron or the Lakers or what Anthony Davis has done. Mm-hmm. It's more so that I kind of miss the drama. Like, it's been you know, his Cavs runs, the last couple were obviously anticlimactic in terms of what happened in the NBA Finals, but even at least on the way there was some intrigue, some interest. And it just feels so different. Like, even the bubble and the pandemic and everything aside, it's never this not rocky of a path for LeBron. And that's something that is just so strange. A guy who's like come up against adversity in his career in so many different ways at so many different times. It's unsettling how that hasn't happened to him this time.
Yeah, I think in some of those past years too, he wasn't the number one seed, so he was going to hit the hardest team to face, sort of. I mean, if he was still in the East, he would have played against that Celtics team. I'm sure he maybe would have played against that Celtics team with the way stuff shook out. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we get a better series out of that. I think Denver really, you know, gave it their all, but they were shot after the way that they got there. You know, coming back from 3-1 so many times, you can only do that so much, and you know, LeBron isn't necessarily the guy you expect to do that against. But they were breaking down in the same way that Miami's breaking down. You know, Miami obviously got to the finals in a similar way.
I want to look ahead now to the next game because I don't think we're going to be able to have a podcast, you know, after the second game. But so look, you know, looking ahead to the weekend, what does Miami need to focus on? You know, tonight if they have a film session tomorrow in practice, what's kind of the first thing on their agenda? Do you think to try to make this a series again?
Well, the first thing obviously is to get healthy. You know, Jimmy has to stay off his feet. Bam has to figure out what's happening. I think it was his wrist, right?
That's right. Yeah, shoulder, left shoulder, wrist.
Yeah. So the first thing obviously is to get healthy. We have no idea what's going to happen with Dragic. I think the other thing is obviously you have to worry about LeBron and you have to worry about AD, but you really have to figure out how to quiet these other guys again. I think the resistance against all of the others, to use Shaq's term that I kind of don't like because I can't think of anything else, but the resistance against those guys has to be higher. They have to play those guys better. I mean, you can beat that Lakers team, and you know a lot of people did with AD and LeBron scoring 60 points. But if everyone around them has another 60, then you know you're pretty much done. I saw them play some zone that was really like not like super active. I could tell what, like, obviously Jimmy had his issues with his ankle or whatever, and he's sort of the heart of that defense, but they didn't really play them super tough, and that's the way that they got to the finals, by playing tough defense and making people earn their points. And the Lakers, it kind of felt like they just took everything that they wanted in this game.
For sure. I don't know if they were so convinced the Lakers were expecting zone that they went away from it, but I was almost surprised at the lack of zone Miami played in this game, and I wonder if Spo is maybe a little bit more aggressive with it moving forward. If you're the Lakers right now, I'm so curious, you know, it's so hard not to have a letdown at this game. At mm-hmm. the same time, you know, LeBron's already talking about his game 2 loss in 2011 in the post game. He's going to be incredibly focused.
I think that's the most important thing for them. The same focus out of AD. This was the most like in tune and emotional, and like you saw him at the rim contesting every rebound, you know, multiple efforts going to the free throw line, like screaming for and-ones. I haven't really seen that from him like game to game. So mm-hmm. to see if he can sustain that in game 2 and really put the pressure on Miami and put them down 2-0. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. Guys like KPC and Danny Green, or KCP and Danny Green, like, they're going to come and go. Like, I don't even remember seeing Danny Green take a shot before tonight. There were a lot of games where he played decent defense, but he really was, like, a non-factor on offense.
Here's what I'll say about Davis. You know, as much as we were looking forward to the AD-Bam matchup, the reason why I don't think the Heat really have an answer for AD when he's being aggressive, if he gets Bam, you know, one foul on him in the second quarter, Bam's going to have to come off him, in the first quarter, rather. Like, you know, they don't have anyone on the bench who can come in and deal with him. They can try size with Myers-Leonard or Kelly Olynyk. Those guys aren't going to slow AD down. They might pick up some fouls. They might fight him out of the post on a few possessions, but you know, they're not going to stop him. And I think what game one showed was AD is a way bigger mismatch for Bam and the Heat in general than maybe the people like me who were wishfully thinking that it was going to be an interesting matchup for him mm-hmm. thought headed into this series. So I'm kind of with you there. Last thing I want to say, after game one, this is just pure takery speculation here. who's your favorite for finals MVP? Because I think it's going to be AD.
I think so too.
Would you care to elaborate?
I'm sitting here thinking. I'm trying to, because I, you know, LeBron is LeBron, and you know there were some moments where you know maybe Kobe you know should have deserved Finals MVP. Shaq always got it though, right? I don't know. I'm trying to think. If AD plays the way, if AD sustains what he just did in Game One throughout the rest of the series, I'll give it to AD. But if LeBron has even a couple signature moments, if he has two games where it's sort of an even split, then it's going LeBron. But I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna go AD.
It's tough not to give it to LeBron just because he's LeBron. I do think that, like you mentioned earlier, some of his stats came tonight when the game was out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they play some close contests and AD is playing the way he played tonight, I think it's going to be him because he's the biggest mismatch on the floor. He's the guy that the Heat are going to have the most difficult time to scheme for. I'm not saying that makes him better than LeBron, just in terms of matchups in the series. The Heat have plenty of wings they can throw at LeBron. They have one guy they can throw at AD who has to hope that he's not picking up fouls, who they have to rely on to do so much more. And now he's hurt, and that's Bam Adebayo. So hopefully it's still an interesting series moving forward. Game one definitely threw a lot of water on that idea, but
yeah, I'm not super hopeful. I'm gonna be honest.
Think it's done?
I know that's not what you want to hear as a Miami man, as a Florida man. I know that's not what you want to hear.
Lakers in 4 or 5. What do you have right now?
Not 4. definitely not 4. I wouldn't count that Miami team out that harshly. I'll go 5.
Okay.
I'll go all 5. Right.
Well, we have to see what happens. Deontay, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, man. We really appreciate it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.